I'm going to leap straight into this because 15 minutes isn't very much time. Girls and Boys Town is a national organization, and research is one of the things that we find necessary in order to continue with informed practice. So here we go. The research that we did, The Journey Towards Independent Living, focuses on processes that young people follow as their journey towards independent living. Most young people generally leave home and become independent, whereas a lot of our young people often return to similar circumstances from which they left, which leaves some unique challenges for them along their journey, so to speak. The study basically looked at, are there services or interventions that we or the field should provide to young people and adapt to provide to young people that would help them transition more successfully? The questions were really around who defines success as a question, and then what does it constitute? Is it a state, a process? What does that look like, and what should it look like? And so, in effect, the study aim was really to look at successing processes, and we referred to a terminology of successing, following narratives from young people who define themselves as successful. But it's interesting because it connects with a whole lot of stuff that was talked about in that room over there earlier on. And these were young people 5 years after leaving care. The study sample then was basically 9 young people with whom we engaged in narratives, all male, between the ages of 20 to 23, with diverse diverse racial backgrounds and living environments, as well as academic background being between grade 9 and university level. The journey really, and a sort of emerging or developing theory at this point, and basically comprises of those stages or challenges for young people, and just now we'll look at some of those narratives. But it starts off with young people describing and talking to their struggle. And the struggles are on 2 levels, external and internal. And effectively what they were saying in terms of the external struggle for themselves was sort of grappling to escape the challenges of the past that they were facing, kind of referring almost to like quicksand that was trying to reclaim them back to what their life was. And their strive was to carve out a better future for themselves at the same time, so that struggle for them. And the external struggles were really things like continuing drug abuse in the environment, either of themselves or those with whom they were connected, patterns of violence, conflict with parents, abusive relationships that were ongoing, on sometimes on different levels, but nonetheless, hopelessness, and sometimes also poor education. The internal struggle, however, at the same time was their own longing to an enjoyment of having fun, being irresponsible, and wanting to test limits. So needing to succeed, but also having this other pull. And it kind of connects, as I said earlier on, with this morning, some of the presentations this morning. The hope that many of them, all of them, in one way or another discussed, was set against the threats of the externals and their own internals. So an emerging set of social processes that all work towards helping create either a better future for themselves or a better self for their futures. Okay, and you'll see them refer to that in some of the narratives just now, in like 2 minutes. Challenge within the hope for them was the heaviness and the boring gray necessity of needing to cope and be successful, whilst they were pulled by this sort of striving towards also testing limits and stuff. So often struggled with that boring gray, and hence we see their sort of achievements and successes and then dip downs as they struggle through their journey of into independence, which they're still busy with. And so are most of us. Okay, what also then arrived was, what emerged was really what looks like a metaphor. These young people talked about themselves as standing apart from others and compared themselves with other young people who hadn't made it or where they were achieving against insurmountable odds. And the metaphor really is that of almost like a skilled warrior, where they saw themselves as heroes, sort of having achieved where others hadn't managed to achieve, fighting these forces of darkness almost like all heroes do, connected with their patterns of their past, into the present and so on, and their almost weapons were the skills that they'd learnt or developed either on the hoof or while they were in some form of care at this point in our care. Okay, some of the narratives, but connected with the goals of the young people. Most of these young people had begun with sometimes enormous expectations of what life was going to be like. And as they experienced different experiences, they, in fact, their goals became more modest and wholesome. And so what we saw was that all of the young people reported that they at some point had hit rock bottom, as they put it. And patterns emerged where, because of these knocks, their goals were adjusted and became more modest, and they made these adjustments themselves. As these adjusted modest goals were achieved and leading to a sense of led to a sense of sort of mastery, so they would establish new and slightly different goals, achieve again mastery, and so that pathway of pattern of success escalated in most instances. And we also are busy just sort of unpicking another theme or concept around what we're calling scarpering, where kids seem to, and it's connected with us, but seem to do really well, set themselves up well, and then somehow undermine their achievement as they go along. But that seems to be what needs to happen at this point, but we'll see. So the kids' key goals that they'd set for themselves were things like completing themselves, their education to a better level, being productive through working, learning new skills and information, holding steady jobs, and really importantly, establishing stable intimate relationships, etc., etc. And I won't go into them all, but and there was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was, so never mind. Okay. The first theme that emerges, and as I say, we're still busy working with these themes, and we've identified four for the purposes of this presentation. There are others, and a report will be out sort of around April time that will elucidate the entire process. Okay, basically the first theme being contextualized observation, learning, and action of these young people. Really, what's starting to emerge are patterns of learning. And all of this relates to learning from either observing behaviors of others or learning from consequences that not they've necessarily experienced, but they see others experiencing, or feedback from others who are connected to them in some kind of way that's meaningful feedback for them. And they then seem to adjust their behavior around that. These young people seem to almost be sharper than many other young people in absorbing that information and applying the information. In some cases, episodes triggered key insights and learning for them, and in other cases, they actively observed and learned from a situation around them. They also showed reflective learning, where they were they became aware of their own mistakes, and you'll see that in some of the narratives as well, where from these mistakes, they learned from them, avoided repeating them, and then took informed action next time. And for them, this was successful. They showed also the growth of increasingly responsive action. So taking control of their situation, setting their own limits, making goal-directed choices, exercising self-discipline, restraint against sort of what they've now established as unhelpful behavior patterns, and then protecting themselves within their social context, which is also quite an interesting process. The illustration that we'll look at now of a narrative is a young person who talks to us about how in befriending a drug merchant when he was sort of a young, independent person received many benefits, and he could see the benefits that were received. He was protected. He was nurtured by this drug merchant. He earned more additional money and so on. But when this person approached him, this drug merchant approached him to work for him more formally, even with the lure of these numerous material gains, he knew he needed to get away from the situation. So he says, at the end of the day, he wanted me to work for him, and I knew that's the time I had to get myself out, so I disappeared. And all that sounded nice, car, money, rings, clothes, but I knew at the end of the day what's going to happen, because I saw how he treated his people. I saw how they got beaten up, gun pointed, and all that. Here we see the young person engaging with risky behavior, but at some point observing that this was becoming too risky and taking action to withdraw, which he did successfully. And these processes happen a lot with each individual and then across all individuals. Other youth said things like, friends told me I looked smelly and like a hobo and immediately changed the direction that he was moving in. And again, processing, thinking, etc. Another youth described how he spoke to other people to find out how they coped with their challenges, and from that sort of absorbed that behavior and then changed his behavior. Another youth talked about how he had learned to steal with his eyes and make it his own. Okay. The second theme that emerged was how well these young people had learned to network people for goal attainment, but in a very resilient kind of way. These young people showed a significant capacity to establish networks of people who adopted supportive roles in relation to them, folk like police, friends, family members, teachers, etc., employers. In many instances, other people appear to offer support out of the blue. You know, when they're first talking, you think, oh, well, this sounds like it comes from nowhere. But on closer investigation, it revealed the subtle, skillful ways in which these young people mobilized others towards action that facilitated their own goal achievement, which is interesting. It was quite purposeful. These social skills, obviously, that these young people have are largely unconscious and invisible to these young people themselves. You know, they weren't able to articulate the process per se, but they explained it. Okay, so in this illustrative narrative, one of the young people had broken into an abandoned house after a period of homelessness. He is confronted by the owner or caretaker of the house, who one would expect to evict him. Okay, instead, he says, and he's like, listen here, you're not supposed to be on this property. And it's a black guy, a very nice black guy, and he speaks a very beautiful Afrikaans. He told me, listen here, you look like a very smart white kid. I'm going to let you stay here, provided you help me take care of this house and see that nothing goes with it, no vandalization or whatsoever goes on here. Now, I'm like, okay, no, it's cool. Then I started staying there. Unexpectedly, this young person appears to turn the situation into his favor, and the owner's comment suggests that he presented himself in a way that impressed him, resulting in a favorable response from that person. Other young youth describe things like, sort of leaving and then negotiating to return to some companies, places of work, etc., on numerous occasions. Okay, and so, can't give you any other examples. Theme three was seeking mutually satisfying relationships. Let me zip through this. Okay, most had relationships and wanted significant relationships. Some of the illustrations were, I've had a very bad experience with women regarding with chatting them up, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time without me noticing that I mess everything up. Then I have to get it back up to standard where it was, and that's a big challenge. Every time when I meet someone new, I always find a way without me noticing to mess it up. I always, always. But I keep on telling him, he was referring to a friend that he had had this discussion with, that's my bad luck. And this young person then, and many others, other examples like not having families to fall back on. Another youth said, all I wanted was someone to listen to me. Somebody else said, somebody on my side, I need somebody on my side to talk to and show me that bit of love. So the need for that intimacy, but a struggle to actually maintain it and that whole sort of process and trying to find their way. The fourth theme, I got like 1 minute, hey. Okay, was building hopeful and tenacious self-confidence. Self-confidence that is grounded in hope that things will get better, very tenacious, very sort of never give up attitude. This young person that we'll look at now demonstrated a tenacious belief that things can work out during one of the most serious crises in his history and his life. His conflict with his parents escalated, and he says, my dad told me, listen here, the day that I can see in your eyes that you have changed, that's the only day that you'll be my son again. And he'd literally had written me off there. This young person was shocked by this tough love and begged to be let back in. So he says, night after night, I sat here in front of the gate to plead to my dad, listen here, just give me another chance. But he gave me already too many chances before, so some interesting insight there, and I keep on messing it up. Self-evaluation, I keep on messing it up. But then I decided, no, this isn't going to work for me. And he moves on and makes 1 minute of success. Okay, so Kids refer to things like, I'm hardwired not to give up. They talk about things like, I believe I'm going to make it. I know I've had my downfalls. I've learned from my mistakes. I won't make them again. I got up by myself, and I will carry on. Okay. Obviously, the researchers also looked into those processes in more detail, and those are some of the other themes that emerged, where we'll be looking at those processes and how those kids managed to do, or young people managed to do what they did. Interestingly enough, though, clearly is the struggle between who I am, what society expects of me, and what I want to be and how I want to be that person. And so some interesting stuff might come out. You're not allowed to look at that slide because there's no time. And then finally, just to say, this is a longitudinal research process. This initial phase was grounded theory. We are building on that and looking more in depth in that with other research, attached research studies at the moment. Then we'll be following young people as they enter care, through their process of care, and as they progress into their future life. Thank you very much. Any questions? Oh, sorry, no time.